All right. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in this. We thank you, Father, for keeping this internet up so that we can all get to fellowship again. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Lord, we ask and we pray, Father, for supernaturally keeping these internet lines open during all of this turmoil. And we thank you for it, Father. We just praise you. We glorify you for all that you're going to do. We thank you for all the healings, for all the deliverances, for all the prayers that you've already answered. And we just praise you, Father, for your presence tonight. We ask, Father, and we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill us all up to overflowing, Lord. And we just praise you, Father, because we know that you're in charge. You've got everything in hand. You're sovereign. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. And we just praise you that you have encouraged us not to give up, to stand on your word, Lord. And that's what we do. We stand on your word. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight, too. We just praise you for all the prayers that are going to be answered. And we just thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us and giving us the things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh, got four out there waiting. Okay. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? See if I can fix it. 8667. Anybody got any prayer request? Missy? No, okay. Everybody prayed up. All right, that's a great thing.
Megan's raising her hand, Michael.
Is she? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Megan. You have to unmute yourself, huh?
Can
Megan, you need to unmute yourself. There we
okay,
go.
Okay, yeah, hello. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I need a prayer request for my aunt.
Okay.
She took a first dose of COVID shot. She's okay now. She took the second one yesterday, and now she's had a pretty bad reaction from it.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Megan's aunt to you, and we thank you, Lord, that we're going to take authority over this rash, command it off of her. We're going to command the effects of this vaccination reversed in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to put faith in her to believe that you're the vaccination she needs rather than this vaccination here. But the enemy is trying to come upon her. And we command that spirit of infirmity off of her right now. The rash to disappear. And we thank you, Father, that she is now COVID-free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. You believe that, Megan?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Auntie, get up. You're healed in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see. Debbie and Denny.
Hey, one second. I'm catching up. I just want to pray for just all that confusing things that are out there that people have to deal with when you hear a new insight or a new side to this, or with our kids are sending us stuff. You know, so, Father, we just pray, Lord, you're in control, Father. We just totally trust you. We have been, and that's what our trust and hope is in. And believe more in what we've been hearing from you, what we've been seeing in the Word, and the different prophecies and dreams and visions than what's on the internet. So, and we just pray for all of our kids and for others too that are receiving confusing things that would challenge their faith or make them doubt. So we just ask, we just thank you, Father. Bring a peace in all of this and a clear direction. Keep these, keep the voice of the enemy silenced in Jesus' name. Bind his voice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for settling people down to get their eyes on you and don't worry about what's happening out there, because God, you have it in your hand and you've already promised us. We believe it. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Dominique, go ahead. Dominique, go ahead. You're muted again. Is your phone muted?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, there we go. All right, sorry about that. I don't know why it was taking a second. So I'm with my brother Ben here. He's not blood related, but he's spiritually related. He just needs some prayer because he's you know, his current job is causing him to be not so slow to anger, and you know, he's just struggling a bit on, you know, what God's trying to say. So he's, you know, just pray for some discernment if you guys can, and you know, just that God guides him in the right footsteps, or yeah, in the right footsteps, and shows him where to go. And just a bit of a praise report. I'm doing real good ever since last outreach. So that's a good thing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's your friend's name?
His name is Ben.
Yeah.
Bud?
Ben. Benjamin?
Oh, yeah. Benjamin. Okay, Ben. All right. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great, brother. It's going great. You ready to receive this? Because God's fixing to do something for you.
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of anger off of him to go right now in Jesus' name. You go. And Father, we thank you for delivering him of that. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in Benjamin. We ask, Father, that you draw him closer to you and make the word come alive to him. The revelations come out like a neon sign, Lord. We thank you for it. And, Lord, we ask and we pray that you give men wisdom and discernment in the spiritual realm. And, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for his heart, for you. And, Father, we ask and we pray that you place it in him to run after you with all of his heart, and surrender everything to you, Lord. Because when we surrender everything to you, it's only God that shows. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for the work you're doing in Benjamin from this point on. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit teach Ben how to be led by your Spirit. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else want to pray?
Hey.
Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, I would like to pray for Ben. Father, thank you for our brother Ben. Thank you, Lord, that you've given him the job that he has right now. And I ask God that you would give him the ability in your grace, Father, to be obedient in everything that he is asked to do regarding his job, Lord. He do it as unto you, because you tell us to do all things as unto the Lord, Lord, and he can submit to you and be obedient, Lord, that you would deliver him from any rebellion that he may be demonstrating within his heart, Lord, that he would give him the want to, Lord, and show him where he may need to have a change of heart, a change of mind towards anybody there. Help him to be forgiving and cast down every thought that comes against him, against the knowledge of the truth. Lord, that if he's doing everything he knows how to do there, Lord, and he is being submissive and obedient, we praise you and thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for the trials that you've given him, Lord, and that he would show respect and honor to his boss, his supervisor, whomever he is he has to answer to, and help him, Lord, to stay on his cross, turn the other cheek, put a wash over his mouth, bridle his tongue, and help him, Lord, to die to that flesh. We thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, give him the strength and the grace and the faith every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Pat, did you want to pray?
Excuse me. Father, thank you for the things that you're leading Ben through, Lord, and you're opening up his eyes and giving him wisdom in this time, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. We also just ask you to open up his eyes and show him any area of a foothold where the devil would want to take advantage of thinking in certain ways or whatever it would be. Father, we thank you that you have translated us completely out of the kingdom of darkness, having come to you and been born again in Jesus, taken us completely out of that kingdom and placed us in a new kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you have crucified us with you and we are dead. And that having died, Lord, you brought us back to life in you. And you purchased us with your blood. We no longer are our own, but you own us. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that I just ask you to open up Ben's eyes and just fill him with your spirit, your perspective, that he may perceive the way you see these things as far as our life, our possessions. Lord, I know that you taught me that the seed of all anger is based upon in our holding on certain rights that we have and having certain things that we consider our own or our right or our own to make a decision or whatever, when in fact you took that right from us and give us back privileges to operate in, to function in our lives. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us just to be grateful for the life that you've given us and the truth that you've given us. We trust you to lead us. We trust you to lead Ben every step of the way, Lord, because we are your possession, the sheep of your pasture, and you certainly know how to take care of us, lead us through the things of life that we need to get a grasp on. So we thank you for that. Just command any kind of spirit that would try to hinder Ben from seeing these truths that you provide us, Lord, the very truths that set us free. I bind those spirits and forbid them to pass across that threshold in Ben's life, Lord. And that you would, Father, give him the spirit, fill him with the spirit, just give him grace to pursue you in all it with all his heart. And we thank you for it. Just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, David.
Guys, if you could pray, we gotta move next week because I start work next Monday. But we don't have any rent yet. We don't have any place to move to yet, so. I mean, it's kind of nerve-wracking not knowing where you're going to be, especially that I got to start work so soon. So if you guys could pray that God sends a house our way so we could actually move into a place and know that I could start from the new place.
Okay. Is this not Memphis, is it?
No, it's an hour east of Memphis, hour and a half east.
Okay. All right. I know about where you are then. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you heard David's request to have a place for him. And Lord, this has all came up all of a sudden. But Lord, we ask and we pray that the employers would have grace, lots of grace for David while he gets his family situated down there. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the provisions also to get him down there and get him situated and get the family in and then be able to go to work when he's supposed to go to work. Father, I know it looks like a short time, but Lord, we know that you can arrange things to where he can get down there and get set up because you're God and you can do those things. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for a mighty miracle for David and his family in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Yeah, Claire. Oh, who is that? That ain't Claire. I said, hey, girl, what you doing?
I'm here to tell her miracle.
Okay, well, let's get David prayed out, and then we'll let you talk, okay?
All right.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that David has already been taken care of in the spiritual realm. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you go ahead, girl. Wait a minute. Judy's got something.
I'd add to your prayer there for David and his family. Okay. Father, you already know the situation. You already know the need, and you're able to supply our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you say, just ask, because you already know what our needs is. So, Father, you know that they need a place to live. And I pray, Lord, that you go before them and you even move on somebody's heart there to do the groundwork for them and find them a place. So when they get there, they just have to turn the key. And we thank you, Lord, for doing more than we can ever ask or think. And I ask, God, that you would give David and his family complete peace and rest and answer quickly for him. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Man, thank you, Lord. It's done. It is done. Okay, hon, go ahead. Let's hear that miracle.
So our next door neighbors went on holiday to Bruny Island, and so we have to look after their pets. But I was allergic to cats, and so I had an allergic reaction the last time we went there. And now when I went to go and feed the cats, I didn't have any allergic reaction.
Yay! Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.
What would normally happen? How would you react?
I would have itchy. I would have an itchy eye and a snotty nose.
Ah, so no more.
Snotty nose. Oh, God.
That's awesome.
Snotty nose.
Did you feed the cat any mice or?
Just cat food.
Just cat food. Yeah. Oh. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Didn't throw your daddy's dirty socks in there, did you? Oh, no. Okay. All right. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Keeping her away from any kind of allergic reactions from cats. That's gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Or anything else, as far as that goes. Thank you for that testimony, huh? That was good. Amen. Off she goes to play. A lovely girl. Praise God. She's a sweetie. All right, who's next?
Claire, what's her name?
That is my Tabitha.
Tabitha. Okay. All right, who's next? She's a sweetie. How old is she? Well, she about, let me think here. Wait a minute. Don't tell me. She's 10.
No, she's 8.
Eight. Okay.
And almost 1 month.
Okay.
Her life has been so much better with her in it. She's adorable.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now she won't, Greg Andrew says, is she going to want a cat now?
And not in this house. She can have
it. Mine either. all right. Obadiah, what are you doing? What are you doing, big boy? All right. Is that Debbie got her hand waving over there? Go ahead,
yes,
Debbie.
Yes, I do. I was just so blessed by Dominic and Ben, and you just go, it's just such a blessing when people receive prayer like that, and just those we're praying for, and David, and maybe just want to pray for like our children and everyone's people who we know, and just that people be jealous to want to be involved in with other believers like this, that will increase their faith, and when they see the rest and the peace there is, and the freedom to pray and comfortable to receive prayer and go with the flow and walk in the faith, you know. So that was just on my heart to pray, because I just really desire that for our kids, and so I think of other people too. So Lord, I thank you for what we have here, Lord. I thank you, God, for the love we have for you, Lord, and one another, and the faith you've put in our hearts, Lord, the faith of in your word, Lord, and standing on your word, God, and how we can share with others, Lord, and I thank you for those who have been invited in and have come on, and Lord, receive prayer, Lord, and their faith grows, Lord. I just thank you, God, for this, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us the words to share with others, even for us, it'd be for our children and anyone else out there, Lord, to share with someone, to invite them on, God, that you would just put, I ask, there would be like a jealousy in their hearts, Lord, for because they realize that they don't have that faith they should have, and they don't have the peace in having that faith, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in the hearts of people that we know, Lord, that you would lead us to people, Lord, and you would do a great work, Lord. I just thank you, God, for what we have, and I just bless your name. Thank you, Lord, what you're going to do in this, and answer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? I see you, Obadiah. All right. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Praise report? Testimony? A song? Sing a song of sixpence pocket full of rice. Go ahead, Megan.
Yeah, I have a praise report.
Awesome.
Last week I asked for prayer for my Social Security card.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my home to thank God was in my mom's room, but thought in my handbag is in the box in the dining room I had. I mean, not dining room, but the den. So I went to the den, looked in the box, and I got it.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for placing it in the box for Megan. Thank you, Father. Lord, he's good, ain't he, Megan?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. All right. Anybody else? I want to encourage everybody that what you're seeing on the tube about the election and all of that, just know that we're still believing what God told us. And what you're seeing out there on the internet and in the tube is not true. Trump's going to be in there because God said. And what we have to do is, and I like what Mike Schoberg from Sweden told us. He's a longtime UBMer from over there. Just hadn't heard from him in a while, but he wrote David and told him, said, look, we need to stand and pray that God deliver what he said he was going to and remind him of it. And of course, that's what we've been doing. And so we're believing that this thing is not over. Of course, there are some people out there that are still hanging with Trump. And that's good. They understand what's going on. And this little hiccup yesterday was something came up that they had to postpone what they were going to do for whatever reason. We don't exactly know why, but that's the thing that we got. But we do know that it's going to happen, and that's what we do. We just keep praying. We keep believing. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You're going to see this. God's going to get the glory. You see what I'm talking about here shortly, between 9, probably April. And there's some other things that are going on. I heard them talking today that, they may just bulldoze Washington, D.C. that's part of the satanic layout that thing is in. But anyway, God's in control. Whatever he wants to do, that's fine. Lord, I just thank you for doing whatever it is that has to be done. And we call your attention to what you told us 5, 6 years ago, that Trump was going to have 2 terms. And Father, we believe it. And we draw your attention back to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this, making it happen. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to get the glory and not man in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the Psalm 91 Passover, all of your chosen people. And we just praise you, Father, for doing the things that you're doing. And it's kind of finding out who's a fair weather person that believes what you said. Everything's going right, they're with you. But when things go south for a moment, they run away. Lord, we've seen that down through the ages, haven't we? And Father, we thank you that we have solid believers on this fellowship in Jesus' name, Lord, that we believe and we stay with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Pat, go ahead.
I got a question. Wasn't there a situation where the government, I'm drawing a blank here, but I thought it was the High Court, Supreme Court, required that the states submit a valid count or something on the 22nd, was after the so-called inauguration. Maybe it was the 21st. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
No.
No?
I didn't.
I'll have to go back.
The Electoral College had to be certified by a certain date, and I don't remember what it was.
Correct. And then it was something about the fact that the Supreme Court was going to hear the case related to the various states, states being contesting it, or the lawsuits that were coming up against it, and they said that they would hear those on the day after, it's the 21st. which didn't make sense at the, kind of at the time. But so I just was wondering if anybody.
Well, it's all a moot point right now because the military is in control. It's because of the Insurrection Act that Trump signed. There's the military, and then there's Biden. There's two things. Biden does not have control over the military right now because of the Insurrection Act. The military is actually in control, according to what we've been hearing, and I believe it.
Michael, I just saw
They have not given Biden the nuclear codes. They have not given their command over to him. Matter of fact, the people that are in charge is Chris Miller and the guy that's over FEMA, whoever that is. I can't remember his name. And, of course, a couple of generals, too. But that's who. Go ahead, Sue. I'm sorry.
I thought I saw something about Sidney Powell having, she had a letter, but she didn't open it. And I kind of wonder whether Trump.
Who?
Sidney Powell. That Supreme Court attorney, the Supreme Court, Sidney Powell?
Yeah, I know Sidney Powell, but she had a letter that she didn't open. What does that mean?
Right, and I think it had to do with the results, but I think that the, Trump might have put a hold on it because of this thing.
Results of what? So I swear I'm missing something here.
I think she had a letter in regards to the court case relating to the voting.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what I saw. I'm just saying. I recall reading something like that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that, so I don't know. I do know that the military is in control. If you noticed, when Biden came down through there in the limousine down the road there, the National Guard had turned their backs. They're not going to get a relinquish of control. They don't have to right now. But anyway, that's what's going on. There are a lot of things going on. What happened? What didn't happen yesterday was people getting arrested because of something that came up that was very vital to them not doing it yesterday. But they had plans to get everybody in that one fell swoop there to grab them and arrest them. But, and Simon Parks came up with the theory about this dirty bomb that had been missing since some time ago. He thought that might have been it, but he didn't know for sure. He didn't know that they might have threatened to do that if they arrested anyone. So I don't know. It's kind of a war going on between the two. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't know who's going to win. Does anybody else know who's going to win? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, David.
Watch what's going on. I can be very discouraged because I didn't want to see Biden in office. You know, it was very discouraging for me. But you know, these last 3 days, I've got more from the Lord on this, and then beyond reason, because I have to depend upon the Lord on these things. I really do. I go to Him a lot. And He gives me very good word on all this. I could read all this, but I send it to David. But everything in here is pretty straightforward. He's not changed. The Lord has not changed one bit on this. But He has, like Michael has said, he's watching for those that are not going to depart from His word. That's very important. He's going to be behind us. He's going to help us. He's going to be very forgiving. but he's also looking for those that are going to fall behind, because that's in his word. He gave that to me. It's right there. I can't deny what he said. He gave me Malachi 3:12. It's today. I gave him up. He says, all the nations shall call you happy or blessed.
That's a good one.
You shall be a delightful land, says Lord Hosts. His next words are very straightforward. Your words have been stout against me, said the Lord. You say, what have we spoken against you? He says, you said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it if we keep his charge, or he keep his commandments, that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy or blessed. Yes, they work wickedness, are built up. Yes, they tempt God and escape. That's what we see. Then he says, then they feared the Lord and spoke one to another, which we're doing here today. And the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord Host, even my own possession the day that I make, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then they shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and to him that does not serve him. So, you know, these times are a test for us. You know, I just want to be prepared. You should know that. And it's a fearful time where you should be humble, fear the Lord. He's not there to destroy you. He's there to be on our side. His word didn't change. He gave me the 19th. He gave me Isaiah 45:2, which David read. And if you go through all through Isaiah, I mean, I could read this stuff and it would take, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe. I don't think it takes that long. But he's given me some strong word on this stuff.
Amen. We might have you read it here in a little bit.
Strong. Well, depends on how long you want to go, guys. I got Psalm 119. I got Psalm 37. I've got Jeremiah. I've got everything that's very strong in his word that supports what's going on and supports us. But we're not. So get your eyes off the world. You can watch the world. It's going to be very discouraging. We're looking for that moment. That moment. The Lord's pretty much got this in his hand. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord and fear him.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank you, David, for that. Also, I will mention one thing for Barry's sake. Hey, Barry, they did mention that Texas might be the next capital. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, it fits right in. Fits right in. Go ahead, Sue. Or I'm sorry, wait a minute. Let me get Missy. She had hers up a while ago.
Hi. this is a word that the Lord gave me yesterday. And it's Proverbs 18:15. And I asked the Lord for, you know, a word of correction or encouragement. And I took this as a correction, but it wasn't a harsh correction. And this is what it says. And I was thinking about it again today and all. It says, the heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Knowledge of God. The Lord was telling me, get knowledge of me. You know, stand my word. Don't get distracted. You know, and I've been staying in his word, but you know, pretty much. But and even though I know that Trump's going to get in there, I've past 2-3 days, I've probably been in the news a little more than what I should be, you know. And I'm always battling news spirits, news junkie spirits in my house and stuff like that. And I basically, I'm battling discouragement, it's probably more of a patience thing or whatever. You know, it's not that I'm faltering on knowing that the Lord's going to do this. It's just, you know, patience. So I just have to repent for that. Father, forgive me. Help me to just stay away from the news and totally keep my eyes on you. And I'd just like some prayer to cast down this discouragement.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Missy to you, and we command that spirit of discouragement off of her. You go right now in the name of Jesus. That news junkie spirit, you go too in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that she's delivered of that. And Father, we thank you for placing it in her heart to get back in the Word in a strong way, because you're the one that's orchestrating this whole thing. And we might as well keep our eyes on you, because you may, you can tell us what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for delivering Missy. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And just add something to that. Lord, we want to hear your news. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear. We want guidance and direction in this. I ask you, Lord, that you give us more dreams. Give me dreams. Amen. Give others dreams that can be shared, Lord, that will encourage us all, Lord, and help us all once again, Lord, to know how to answer other people, answer people when this subject comes up, Lord. And have words of encouragement to them, Lord, and know what to say to them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. It is done. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Judy.
Okay, yeah, it's me this time.
All right.
I had such a great verse this morning, because I was asking the Lord, I really need an encouraging word, because I have a cousin that's just been texting me. But anyhow, I just really needed something encouraging. And he gave me Psalms 21, 1 and 2. And it says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him heart desire. And that's why my finger was on heart's desire. And has not withdrawn the request of his lips. Selah. So that was, he's given him his heart's desire. Trump's gonna do that, because God's given it to him. So thank you, Lord, for that encouragement.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Good word, Judy. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking this morning about, actually I woke up with the thought, it was something that David said, but it says it a lot, basically, and that is that the Lord is, through this process, going to use the opposition, or the deep state, or the Babylonian empire, or whatever, to also take out the apostate system. And I'm hearing, I can sympathize with some of the comments and prayers and people struggling, because I have been struggling with the same things, thoughts. And I know when we first went into this thing in the last few days through the election, and that I started getting discouraged, and I finally had to kind of can the TV set and just, which is probably something we should have done before, obviously, but all of that negative, deception has just multiplied greatly. So what you're seeing off of the tube now is nothing but, it's all, it's a lot of interesting stories, this and that, the way it usually is. But the whole perspective is, there's not even the thought that of what we're talking about, and Trump still being in there and still having a chance or whatever. It's they've closed the book. But the thing that, and so because of that, there is a lot against faith right now. And the thing that hit me, and it was of this, that statement that God is using this time, and he is going to use this time to take out the apostate system. Well, part of that apostate system, shall we say, the foundations or the inner workings of it, function, have their roots in the flesh, in the carnal earthly perspective, which we carry remnants from, that keep popping up every once in a while in our life. And the reason, at least the way I believe it, the reason some of these things hit us sometimes, and we may get depressed, or we may get angry, or we may, struggle with these things, is because there's a foothold there. There's a place where these thoughts can come in and they find rest in us. Now, we don't, obviously, we're not aware of these things, or we would be, identifying them and casting them down, confessing them as sin or whatever. But there's, I believe that there's things that are there deeply seated that we possibly are not aware of. And God is smoking them out in our lives, just like he's bringing these things to light. And if we find that we're discouraged or we're dealing with something there, it's not something to be discouraged about in and of the fact that it is there, because the Lord is taking us there. The Lord is smoking these things out in our lives because he wants to set us, he doesn't just want to take the battle away, doesn't want to take the conflict away in our life. That's the ultimate goal, basically, is to take the conflict away. But he doesn't want to do that by removing the battle. He wants to do that by removing whatever motivation or ground within us that allows it to be a battle, that allows the battle to act. In other words, I think the Lord is bringing us to a place where he is going to give us his peace. Obviously, by faith, we have his peace, but he's going to manifest that peace, his peace within us. And I get the thought, the verse came to me as I was just thinking about that is in Ephesians 4:27. It's a really simple little thing in verse 26. Well, let's go to verse 25. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak truth to each other, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then this verse, neither give place to the devil. And I've heard it taught that way, and the actual word for place there, I think, is the word, if I'm not mistaken, topos, which is a geological, or like map makers use that word, topos, topography, or whatever. It has to do with an area, a place in our life, or an area that somebody can take residence in, that can take a piece of land. And it's, I think it represents our soul. Don't give place or a piece or a position or a place of leverage that the devil can take advantage of. Well, I think most of us in this room have been through this process of discipleship and God smoking these things out in our lives for, you know, 20, 30, maybe 40 years. But I think I believe God is doing a new thing. And I'm going to just take a real quick thing over here in Habakkuk, where the Lord led me today. In verse 1, it says, and it's interesting how this almost pictures exactly where we're at. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear? I cry out unto thee of violence and thou will not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and look upon perverseness? For destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention rising up. Therefore the law is slacked, and justice does not go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore justice goeth forth, which goeth forth is perverted. And then the Lord answered and said, behold, ye among the nations, and look and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. There's that opposition, that Babylonian state, that bitter and hasty nation that marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but it is a picture of what we're going through right now. God is raising up that beast to come against us, and he's doing a good work within us. He's smoking these things, these footholds and these little places of manipulation or leverage that the devil is using against us, even in our own life. And he's going to smoke it out and cleanse it and take it completely away, manifest that which he has already done 2,000 years ago. So I'm encouraged, even in the midst of what we're going through right now, that again, the Lord is doing a new thing, a brand new thing that I have never seen before, for sure. So, amen. That's it.
Say, Pat, what was that reference again? Where did you get that again? The word you read?
The last one?
Yeah.
Habakkuk 1, first chapter, first verse in Habakkuk. And it's 3, 4, 5 verses there.
Okay, I just got a message that China has 28 people that was in the Trump cabinet have been, I don't forget what you call that. But anyway, they come against them and told them that they couldn't have any business with China. Of course, that's okay. Any business with them, couldn't go there, couldn't go to Hong Kong, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And their families and anybody that had any association with them. So, Lord, we just come, we lift up all of these families. We thank you for your protection upon them. Lord, there's a bunch of people out there would like to do away with Trump supporters, and that's a big job, but they do. I've already seen people from the Obama administration talking about locking them up. And, Father, we just thank you for your protection upon all Trump's people. And their families, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them from all kinds of evil in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father, for doing that. And also the Christians, Lord, your chosen. We thank you, Lord, for your protection upon all your elect in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep, I knew this was something similar to this was going to start happening. I know Brennan came out and actually said that they need to round him up. Need to round him up. But anyway. Okay, anybody else? Well, okay. Then we can get into a Bible. Get in the big book.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Can I pray something real quick?
Sure.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your sovereignty and your power and your strength and your wisdom. And Lord, you gave us authority over all of the power of the enemy. So we command all of these threats that they are making against all Trump supporters and their accusations and their evil works of darkness. We cast them down in the name of Jesus. We don't accept what they're doing, Lord, and we're commanding the angels to go forth and bring this to an end, bring their wickedness to an end, all their threats and idle words and their pride and their self-righteousness and the very things that they have condemned others of doing, Lord, and accusing them, they're doing it themselves. So we thank you, Lord, that the fools will be made fool of, Lord. They will be shamed, and we thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work there, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us keep our eyes on what is true. And thank you, Lord, for the good words that we have and the comfort and the truth that shields us and protects us, Lord. And we send the angels to shield and protect these people, Lord, who are the supporters for righteousness and what Trump is really standing for and what he wants and the purpose you have for him, Lord, that you will fulfill every plan and every purpose you have for Donald Trump. We thank you, Lord, for getting him into office and keeping him there for the duration, Lord, that you have for him. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to be waiting patiently as you work. In Jesus' name, amen. And Michael, amen. Would you mind playing that little short clip that Angelica had sent?
Yeah, I will. Let me give this out right quick. Lana says, Charlie Ward said he was watching the inauguration 10 hours before it went live in the U.S. He lives in Spain, on the coast of Spain. So that was a put on. It was a facade. And then Joe Brett had this. Said, Father gave me Isaiah 25, verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Yes, we will. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. That's Michael, a good one, Joe. Yeah, Michael, Dave.
I'd like to pray too, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Sue.
Lord, we just left up this whole situation with Biden and all that, you know, Lord, we just pray that anything that Trump and the generals would like to do, Lord, that we bind up any evil spirits that would try to hinder what you want to do through them, that any enemy that's trying to come against it, we bind them up, all those evil spirits, we bind them up and command them to cease their activities, any kind of plans, that they won't work, and so that there will not be any delay, any kind of delay of anything that you want to do, Lord. And we just command those angels to go forth and to cover and protect all of your elect, all of your people, Lord, and whatever needs to be done, that you bring forth the angels to take care of whatever matter is been a hindrance, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I saw what Charlie was saying there that you were referring to, and it wasn't just Spain that this was aired. It was all across Europe. At least that's what he said. At I think it was 7 o'clock in the morning their time. You know, as we know, the inauguration isn't legal and valid if it's done before 12:01 on the 20th. So there's a lot of aspects to the inauguration. It's kind of sad that that they didn't cover all their bases, but oh well.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to get this up, so go ahead, David.
I will read this. I got this
yesterday
from the Lord. Psalm 37:6. And I always get this stuff early in the morning, like 5 in the morning, you know? So it's not like I spend all day on this and I have to go to work. So he gave me Psalm 37:6, but I'll probably read the whole Psalm. And I'm not discouraging your prayers. Continue to do warfare, but listen to what the Lord has to say about this. Again, I got Psalm 37:6, and I'll start with Psalm 37:1. It says, do not fret of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Also, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will act. And here's my passage. And he will make your righteousness go forth as light, and your justice as the noonday sun. He says again in 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who makes wicked plots happen. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. For yet for a little while, the wicked will be no more. Yes, though you look for his place, he isn't there. Be humble, but the humble shall inherit the land and shall delight himself in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes his teeth at him. The Lord will laugh at him, for he sees his day coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent the bow to cast the poor down and to the needy and the needy to kill those who are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. So, you know, it's just, and I could go a little farther, but I'll stop there. Let's just let the Lord believe his word and we'll be all right.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else before we go to this little short video? It's a little short one, so it's no biggie. Okay. Okay. For y'all that are crying out loud. Okay. Hang on just a second here. What I'm going to do is just read it. This is from War in the Heavenly Realms by Annette Capps. I think that's Capps Ministries over in Arkansas. Okay. It says, great joy came to me on the morning of January the 14th, 2021. As God said to me, do you think the devil is smarter than I am? Don't you think I have this figured out? And then it goes on to say, what is happening on earth in all nations is a reflection of what is going on in the heavenlies where a war is raging. Satan's kingdom is divided. They are fighting against each other. Each has a view and opinion of what needs to be done, and they are at counter purposes to each other. They are, hang on, I'm not reading fast enough, I don't get. Okay, each has a view and opinion of what needs to be done, and they are at counter purposes to each other. They are accusing each other. Anarchy has arisen against Satan himself among his ranks. That's good. It's a good thing. They have no wisdom and they have no plan. What natural truth or fact they have has been twisted to their own ideas. Satan himself sowed this rebellion, anarchy, and chaos when he rebelled against God. Now, he is reaping the harvest with his own followers. Quit looking at what is happening in the bleachers where the fights are breaking out. Get your eyes on the game on the field. Amen. It is a spiritual battle, and the odds are not even. God has more players on the field, greater strategy, more troops in the fight. The game has already been called. Amen. Unite yourselves with me and listen to my spirit. Return to my word and celebrate the victory. You are only watching a replay. In the realm of the spirit, the game is over. Praise God forevermore. Amen to that. All right. What'd y'all think about that one? Amen. Game is over. Quit looking at the fights in the bleachers, for goodness sake. Awesome. That's a good word. I believe that is, what's that Caps guy's name, that faith guy?
Charles.
Charles Caps, yeah. He lives over fairly close to where I used to live.
I don't think he lives anymore, does he?
He may not. He may have died. I don't remember. I don't know. I hadn't kept up with him in years. Oh, 2014, Claire said. Amen. All right. Anybody else got any more comments about the flights in the bleachers? Fights in the, I like that. That's pretty good. We just need to get our eyes on Jesus, right? That's all we need to get our eyes on Jesus. We get our eyes on where the winning it will show up pretty quick. Okay, Charles Capps, yeah. I mean, I met him a number of times years ago. Okay. Anybody else got something before we get into the fivefold ministry that Lana wanted us to talk about? Lana, is she in here?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Did you have any particular question before we begin?
No, I actually took some time to listen to David's teaching on it, and he does a good job covering it if we want to keep talking about it. I think initially my main question was, what is the job of each of the fivefold ministers, and how does that apply to our fellowship today, unlike the mainstream churches?
Amen. All right, anybody want to tackle that? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I got some verses that pertain to that and everything else that we discussed today. Because it's in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Now, when I'm going to read this, you have to realize this is going through the apostle's head constantly. As a matter of fact, this whole book is. He's getting this word inspired by God to him. And it sounds like he's just speaking it off the cuff, but it's a word the same way Jesus got a word. You see, he only spoke what God told him, Jesus. And this is what the apostle does too, but he does it with Jesus. And I think that this is a This was revealed to me yesterday. And it says in 15, Galatians chapter 1. But when it was God's good pleasure who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me through his grace. So everyone has to go through that. To reveal his son in me, that I preach him among the nations straightway. I conferred not with flesh and blood. That's the presence of Jesus. And it should be in you too. He reveals things to you. He puts it in your mind. But through the Holy Spirit, he does these things. You know, there was a time where I used to say, Lord, I hear from this tempter quite a bit. Isn't it about time that I hear from you? You know, because we all want to hear from the Lord. And he's there to give it to us. Who do you confer with? Don't confer with any man. That's I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's the man's spirit. That's the world's spirit. Even there's two verses there. It talks about man's spirit, the world's spirit, and God's spirit. You know, and really he's still talking about the divisions, the four denominations that were in Corinth there. So there was a man's spirit that came in, a world spirit. And we don't do that. We are in communion with God, with his spirit. And we depend on him to warn us, to cast down reasonings, and to take our authority, like it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. So it's a wonderful revelation here that he's actually speaking all this word. You know, you get to the, he's giving us a good example here of something that crept in to an entire province where, in Galatia, all these seven churches you read about in Revelation are in this state or province. And he's just showing what has come into the church here. And he's already warned them in the book of Acts about this. And now it's coming back in Galatia. But what is he really warning us about, you know, on how these things happen? How people are so quickly removed, you know, and it's very true. God's a loving God. I said an example once of Jonah. He was in the boat. They casted lots. It fell on Jonah. So the sailors in the boat went to Jonah and said, you know, we cast lots and it fell on you. And he admitted it, you know. And then they asked him why. And he said, well, I'm not obeying God. You got to realize that Jonah knew that God was a loving God. So he, you know, it was very wrong for anyone to mishandle a prophet back then. But God was helping Jonah because he wasn't actually agape-ing him properly. So he threw him in the water. I remember saying that. And he wrapped him in seaweed and made a nice enchilada out of him for the fish or whale to eat him. And this was all because of God's love. I'm sure he had tribulation when he was going through it. I don't know if you're in a whale in the dark for 3 days, 3 nights, you're going to pray. So he was in, he knew, because at the very end of Jonah, and he said to God, you know, didn't I tell you you were a merciful God? And it's just coming out of his mouth. And we know that. We know that because of a guy with 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The 1 talent guy thought God was a big, okay, I got my lightning bolt. You're going to get it. You know, but it's just not that way. He didn't have the right interpretation of God, that 1 talent guy. You know, I remember when David first explained that parable to us, he said, you'd expect the 1 talent guy to have another talent. And even in the parable, he says, you got to have interest at least, you know? And so let's get really in tune with these parables. It's really neat, you know. I did manage to listen to on site. You can go and listen. You don't even have to read it. The Shepherd of Hermas stuff. There's some really good stuff in there on how he had. I think David Eales actually did some a Wednesday or a Sunday on it, and he showed us how this Hermas had an art of confessing his sin, you know, and not too many people do that anymore. And I'm sure the confessions he made were really plain, you know. I'm sure, like when we discussed the prophet Jonah, he was probably confessing inside the whale, you know. And these things, you know, are heard because you're favored with God. You're favored with God. And I just think it's really neat that God has that still small voice that he'll give to you every once in a while. When you were young in the Lord, he talked to you more than he does now and more clearly. But he wants to still do have that relationship. And speak to you. You know, he'll speak to you in fellowship. People will bring up verses and other verses will come into your head at the same time. Praise God. Glory to God.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Dave.
I posted some information in the chat about author I read many years ago. Probably one of the reasons why I'm here today is the author was Frank Viola and George Barna. They did it together. And the book was called Pagan Christianity. And I think if somebody would want to take the time and read through this book, you'll find that the churches that most of us grew up in and had affiliation with, and he goes through that church format. He goes through everything the churches do that we're familiar with and the structure. And he talks about where they got all their things they do in church, you know, from the sermons to children's time where they have a little story hour, or maybe they have pull them out for the Bible classes. And then they talks about the prayer time. He'll talk about the structure, the nows, the certain sermons, which they all are certain songs they'll sing at a certain time. And then it's all a format they follow. A lot of them are real similar. But you don't find that in in the Bible. You don't find that format anywhere that the first church did anything like that. But you have that today. You do have that today. And you have stained glass windows maybe in some churches, and you have the pews, and you have the altar up front where the pastor has to go up steps and be above the rest of the congregation. And you have pastors and you have laity. You have all this structure that you don't find in the Bible. And you start to realize that's really the paganism of church that's not in the Bible. And so what they look at you and try to figure out, why can't you see you're missing out on God and his format, his church, the way we've got it? Why are you doing this? Why are you involved in a group that doesn't do things like we do? Well, the reality is we're doing things like the original church did. We're back and following the way things were started out in groups, and we shared in common, and we fellowshipped, and we talked, and we brought up Bible verses, and we had exhortation, and we had words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and somebody would sing a song, and then we would pray together. We're actually doing what they did in the initial church here. The format you see in church today that other churches have is really paganism. That's from pagan Christianity. Those, all those things they do started outside of the church that we see here in this group. This group went back, is doing what the original church did and followed a path the way they did it. And they have an elder, and you have, may have some deacons here, you have, but everybody is fellowship, and we all have things in common. Nobody looks at themselves above another. We're all coming in the image of Jesus Christ and building each other up in that image, so we can all be presented, you know, as a full perfect man in Christ. That's what we're doing here. But you don't have that in the other churches so much. That's not really their focus. So it's important to know when they try to distinguish and say, why aren't you like us? It's because, well, we got away from that paganism. We're no longer doing that pagan church thing anymore. And I tell you what, this book brought me under a lot of heat when I was in a pagan church, because that was very offensive to the pastors to know that I was reading something like this, pagan Christianity. Because basically it's an affront on everything they're doing. It's not Christ-like, but it's something they followed and fell into over the years. But is it wrong to have to do things the way you do things? I'm not trying to criticize what they do, but I would say that what they do, you're not going to find the example in the scriptures compared to what we're doing. There's a difference. So that's why they don't understand us. Is because of what they do is not really what lines up with the scriptures. They'll think it does, and they'll say, well, we have pastors, we have exhortation and all this. But you don't, in the original church, you didn't have everybody sit down and one person talking all the time and being the head, or somebody else leading music and everybody else is just followers. You didn't have just followers. In the real church, you had people come together and had all shared in common. And those which we do. So that's why they have a hard time seeing that and understanding it. You'll see what we do is real alignment with probably what you see more in the book of Acts, the original church. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Another good book. Oh gosh. I was like a really young Christian. This is when I was still in the Assembly of God. And surprisingly, and it makes me wonder if this couple, the brother in particular that gave me this book, if they ever came out, because it's called Babylon Mystery Religion. And it's not a real thick book, but it just tells you the basics about Christmas trees and about the fish on the Pope's hat and about the church steeple and a lot of stuff like that. And it was like really an eye opener to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I think it's on UBM's site. I think there's a PDF of it on the site. I used to have it and I gave it to somebody and I never got it back. But then I was so glad when David, or there was one put on the site, PDF. So I have it downloaded into my tablet now. So that's just a real easy one. And I'm glad you brought that up, Dave, because I had forgotten about that. And it was just like, oh, wow. I like know who I'm going to send this PDF to. I'm going to send it to my sister. So I like to pray about that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this book, Babylon Mystery Religion. And I ask you, Lord, to open Cindy's heart and anoint the book and help her to receive the truth of what's in it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I know that she doesn't have a lot of that Christianity stuff in her, but I know the one thing that'll really hit her is the whole Christmas tree thing. And knowing other things too. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, Raul, read chapter 2, Sovereign God. Chapter 2 in Sovereign God. All right. That'll tell you about the Bible. The true Bible. Okay, Lana, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that I did, in fact, read that book, Pagan Christianity, and it was an eye-opener as to explaining where most of church tradition comes from. And so knowing that, it's been a while since I read it, but knowing that, they did not really, for example, they gave a good explanation of where preaching, today's contemporary style of preaching comes from. But my question is, what is preaching? What is the job of a preacher? How does that apply to our fellowship? We don't, as far as I understand, we don't have preachers in our fellowship. We don't preach in our fellowship. And I think it's because that's something that's done to the heathens. You go preach to the heathens. You go proclaim the truth. So what does an evangelist do? What does an apostle do? I'm familiar with the teachers and the prophets because we have those amongst ourselves. But what about the rest?
Okay, that's what we're going to address tonight. And true church government, what little bit of time we've got left. Anybody want to grab hold of the apostle? Now, I know all what they all do. You know, we've all gone over this, the true church government. Anybody want to grab that one? The apostle? Okay. I'll do it. The apostle in the Greek means sent forth. That apostle is sent forth by God. He has all of the gifts somewhat in him to go out and start churches, and that's his job. He goes out and starts churches where there is a group of people that want to start a church. He goes to them, does it. He works in all four the other gifts, and he's able to do that. And then at some point in time, he will appoint the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. And the apostle, if there's one. That's his job, the apostle's job. The apostle is appointed by the Lord himself. It's not by man, it's by the Lord. So that's his job. Then he appoints, of course, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and the teachers in that particular group or fellowship after they come up to maturity somewhat, after they understand what the word is about. Yeah, Dave.
I guess I'm going back to a little bit of Lana's question is, where is preaching in the Bible when it comes to the body of Christ? Or, I mean, is it some kind of exhortation that we're looking at? What do you mean by preaching, I guess?
Well, because I'm thinking, people,
go ahead. I'm just thinking that whenever I look into scriptures and while I'm following it a little bit, it seems like I see more teaching for the body of Christ than I do preaching. I mean, preaching might come out when some kind of exhortation has to be done or whatever, or something's happening in the body that has to be addressed, maybe. I don't know. But maybe somebody can explain to me the preaching, because I know there was probably preaching in the churches. I was in a church, but I don't feel a need for that as much as I do teaching, fellowship, understanding the Word of God. I guess now that I'm more mature in the Lord, the preaching is not necessarily, unless there's something.
Define preaching for us, Dave.
Right, there we go.
No, I say go ahead and define preaching for us. Maybe people out there don't understand preaching, the difference between preaching and teaching.
You talking about me or who?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Am I hard to hear?
No, the preaching is not, to me, it's not totally. Go ahead, Julie.
I just kind of look it up in the an ESOR, just the definition quickly of preaching is, of uncertain affinity, to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth, the gospel, preach, preacher, proclaim and publish. That's the Greek 2784, if you want to look that up. And I'm just seeing if there's another word there for it. I don't think there is. 2784 is a preach. So it's herald and 2280. Talk, that is utter words, preach, say, speak after, talk, tell, utter. To announce good news, evangelize, especially the gospel, declare, bring, declare, show, glad tidings, good tidings, preach the gospel. In a sense, I think every part of the body is to preach the word. And Timothy was commanded to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to preach the word. It's just being able to, we are the word. We're the word made flesh. And I think we all have the ability to speak what God has put in our heart of the gospel. We're a living epistle of the gospel.
I would say, going by what you just gave us, the preaching was done tonight. We've got preaching about our time, and the word from the Lord came. I gave some word that I've got for the past couple of days, and so is Michael. Exhortation in the word about what the Lord's, how he's handling things. So it's not for with us, when our group, the preaching's there, it's preaching for what we need to hear now, not just somebody get up there and preaching
whatever. It's encouraging. Yeah, it's an encouragement, an exhortation. It's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's
absolutely,
it's just
somebody said it best a while ago when they said heralding the word.
So that does happen in this group. You just have to understand how it's done, format, the way it's done in our group.
Amen.
Yeah, the preaching is actually the evangelist, and that's the heralding, just like Jesus heralded the truth, and it says, blessed are the feet of those who herald it. It's the preaching is actually the evangelist, and it develops into an actual ministry. We may share things, it's like someone who prophesies often may develop into a prophetic ministry. But everyone who prophesies is not necessarily a prophet, but God can develop that into a ministry. And the preaching is actually the evangelist. Now, today you would have a pastor. Sometimes he'd be preaching, trying to get people saved, you know, bringing out the good news. And then he might go on some next Sunday, he might be teaching. You know, the distinction is, you know, heralding the good news. So it's, there's a, anyway, that's what I think it is.
Amen. I agree. Did you have something, Judy?
No, I was just thinking something about like the gifts, because those are gifts that God ordains men to do. It's not necessarily like the office of, there's not an office of those particular people, those roles. It's, or is it an office of the apostle, an office of, it's not.
No. Preaching is just something you do.
Right.
The offices.
I preach the word to myself all the time. You know, I'm preaching it to those around me that hear it, you know, in the spiritual realm, because I am speaking the word of God. I'm commanding. I'm speaking the word out loud. And you know, God uses all of us because we all have the word in us to, in a sense, preach the word to exhort people. God's brought me people that I, you know, and all of you too, in our comings, our day-to-day walk, wherever we go to be, you know, a minister of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord. It's not that we're up there, you know, in the typical, what they would call preaching on the street corners in a pulpit or, you know, something like that. But it's, you know, we're all the body of Christ.
Preaching to me is encouraging people to come to Christ. It's encouraging people to get closer to Christ. It's encouraging people to follow Christ. And you do it, you know, by being led of the Holy Spirit, primarily. Yes, Pat.
Excuse me. I was thinking of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They were our people who were saints, obviously, children coming into the kingdom, learning to walk with God, and God brought them to places of his awareness as far as learning certain aspects of the Lord or whatever. And God developed those, brought out those particular perspectives out of each one. And I think, I guess I'm thinking that the apostles were those that had the wider perspective of God, or the bigger picture, shall we say, and the prophets had various different perspectives of God, but to a lesser degree of the overall picture than the apostles. Evangelists obviously are gifted to speak more for the conversion of people from the kingdom of darkness and transferring them over into the kingdom of light. And their desires and heart and focus is really focused upon that. The pastors, teachers, again, they have their same responsibility and desires that God has placed in their hearts. But all of those are for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, the building up or the development of the church. I guess it just goes right through that the Ephesians 4, for perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building of the body of Christ. because they're all there for the development of the saints in order for the saints to build up the body of Christ by until we all attain to that unity of faith of the knowledge of God unto a full-grown man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. I guess I'm going to read the whole thing and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the Christ, who is Christ, who is the head. And this is the part that I like out of the whole process. Those pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles, all building and nurturing that body of Christ so that the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies according to the working of the measure of every part. So that body of Christ is actually nurturing itself after a while and is taught to do so. And I think of just one little quick thing that the schools of our country should be teaching, but are not. And that's simply just one thing, teaching our children how to learn. And if you teach them how to learn and direct them in the direction, they will do the learning. They will do the work of learning more learning. Well, that's exactly what God is bringing the body together so that it will build up itself and learn. So anyway, I'll shut up.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was busy with something else there at the chat. So let's see. Yeah, Apostle is a jack of all trades. He knows a little bit of everything. Pretty proficient in it. The pastors, the prophets, let's go to the prophets. The prophets are the eyes. In other words, they see and hear from God, get the words from God. They're the eyes and the ears of God. Has anybody got anything else on the pastors? I mean, the prophets that you want to talk about, or you got any questions on that? Or any dissertations on that?
It says that they lead the body of the sheep to pastures with a discernment.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, the pastors.
Go ahead, Denny.
In here. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
I heard an illustration which is very helpful. It's a fivefold ministry. It's like the hand. And the thumb is like the apostle. He's the one that can work with the others. He's the only one that can work with the others. The prophet is like, thus saith the Lord, the pointing finger, thus saith the Lord. The middle finger reaches out the furthest. That's outreach, which is the evangelist. The ring finger is the pastor. I guess there's a nerve that goes from that finger all the way up to your heart. And that's what, you know, where you have compassion and care. And then the little finger is able to get in your ear. That's the teacher. So the hand ministry is the fivefold ministry.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead, Clarence.
It's the ministry of Christ distributed, because now Christ is a many-membered body. We no longer have Jesus, one man walking around over in Galilee. We have a body. You know, it's the body of the Christ. The Christ is a many-membered body. So he distributed all of what he is and what he does and how he does it. He distributes that to the body. And when you go in 1 Corinthians 12, it'll mention apostles. I think it's teachers and what is it? Let me see once. It's a little, he doesn't have a fivefold. He mentions three of them. Where is it? Am I in the right? Oops, I'm in the wrong. He mentions three of them. I think it's like apostle, prophet, and teacher or something. He doesn't mention the other two, but then he adds miracles, those who do miracles, those who do healings. So there's, it's again, it's God distributing all of what he has and what Jesus has done to his body so that it would be the body of Christ.
Yes. Amen. That's good, Denny. Thank you so much. I don't guess I've ever heard that. That's a great analogy, though. Go ahead, Claire.
I just wanted to ask, I'm getting a little bit confused, and I thought I had this right in my head, so please help me. With somebody who is giving a prophecy, I know women can give, you know, they can hear the word of the Lord and they can give it. And I know like Debbie's done that a few times and there's other people who can do that sort of thing. But like this thing we watched now with this lady who did this prophecy on YouTube for 1 minute and 49 seconds or whatever it was, Annette, like what is that? Is she allowed to do that? Like, is that allowed? I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me try to clarify. If you get a word from God, Claire, please give it out. Okay? Women can receive words from God and give it out, but the office of a prophet is somebody that has been appointed into that office, and it's always a man. But having said that, women can get words from God, and they always do. We've got women here that does it all the time. You know, Eve, Marilyn, all these women comes up with great, you come up with these great words from God, you know, and things from God, and it's awesome. But women are not allowed into the office of the prophet. That's a different role.
Because I think the thing that I've always thought is that if I receive it, I need to pass it on to somebody who's in that office and they can share it. Like, yes, I could share it, but it's going to reach more people with somebody who's in the right office. Like, God has given it to me, and it's my duty to be obedient to him, to share it with, like, the elder or my husband or that sort of thing. But I'm not going to start a YouTube channel on what Claire heard from the book. You know, like, I don't know... Like, so I just struggle with that, but I'm glad you've clarified that, because I do always send those words on. And I know a lot of the women here are so obedient and we do hear from the Lord. He loves us. I'm not saying women are diminished in the ministry. I'm also not wanting a better office. I hope you hear the humility and the genuine concern I have for women who
understand that,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the difference right there. Who can shut God up if it come from a woman? If it come from a man? If it come from a donkey? Who's going to shut God up? Nobody. It's got any sense. No, it's perfectly okay for... Uh-oh, I got all kinds of women raising their hands now. Here we go.
You brought Lord something of God.
Lord, help me. Give me some strength, Lord. You brought go ahead, Missy. Good. You were first. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie. Missy.
Somebody might have mentioned this and I didn't catch it because there was stuff going on at times. I was distracted. Anyway, of the fivefold ministry, like Claire was just talking about the prophet, you know. There's women that are prophetesses in that they function in giving prophetic words regularly, but they don't have an office because only men can have authority. The fivefold ministry are elders. They're there. If you're an elder, you're one of them in the fivefold ministry, is my understanding from what David said. And they have authority. Only men are permitted to have authority over men and over the congregation for the building up, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my understanding.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Julie.
I would agree with what Missy just said and all that. And I would only add to what Claire's question was about that video. And there's other women out there that have blogs or a ministry or whatever they do online and that kind of thing. I believe that they are prophesying in part. They know in part they do what they believe they're supposed to do. I can't, we don't know that they're right or not. That's between them and God. But if they're hearing from the, if they are in fact hearing from the Lord, our, I believe the spirit in us is going to agree with what's true and disagree with what's not true based on our understanding and our maturity in that. But we have to take what is good and leave the rest. And I can't say that what this person did, any woman that's out on the, they have to give account to God for what they're doing with what God's giving them. And if they are disobedient, that's between them and them and God. They have to give an account, just as we do. So I know it's not, I wouldn't go out there and put anything up on the website either. I wouldn't design that. I wouldn't do that. I mean, that's not in me. I know better, but if God's putting it in these other women to do that, that's between them and who, you know, them and who they have to answer.
Here's the problem.
It's misleading. It's misleading.
Here's the problem that I've seen with all men and women, prophets, so-called prophecies and prophetesses. What do you call them? Prophetesses? Okay. Their religion gets in the way, and they like to skewer what God's told them to meet their limited knowledge of what the Word of God says. And they mess it up. And that's why we, like Julie was talking about, you have to be very careful of what you listen to. And you really need the Word of God to ascertain as to what they're saying, to understand what they're saying. Yeah, Dave.
You brought something up which was really good also, that these spiritual gifts or how God moves in people's lives and offices and everything else does not, just because somebody has a gift and they use it, somebody else that has a gift can't overcome that other person in any way. In other words, if somebody's doing their job as a teacher, you can't have a evangelist take authority over him or apostle take authority over that person. That's not how the body of God works. They work in their office, and somebody doesn't have the right to they shut somebody up because they think they have a higher office. I mean, if that's their position and they're doing it correctly, somebody else can't take authority over that person's gift in their office. That's not
what. You come into a good place there, and we're out of time. But why would God use five people rather than one? Now, just go ahead and expound on what you were talking about.
Because he doesn't want to put everything under one person. He won't do that.
Too much room for error.
And then you have the body of Christ having to work together and be led by the Spirit and be humble. You know, and if you're humble, you're going to allow other people to use their gifts correctly.
Amen.
And you're not going to. And at the same time, like Julie said, I mean, just because some of it, we prophesy in part. If somebody mm-hmm. prophesies, they may not have it all correct, but that doesn't mean they're a false prophet. You know, it just means they don't have it all, and maybe their mind might get involved a little bit. Their feelings might come out. Their understanding might not exactly be true to what they received, what God may want to portray. But that's, you know, that's just how these things work in the body, and God still works these things out. So, and that's why we can all come together and share, because we're the body of Christ, you know.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, praise God. We'll just continue this. What's today? What is today? Is this Thursday? I think this is Thursday. Amen. It is, because yesterday was Wednesday. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your fivefold ministry. We praise you, Father, for that, because it is. It's going to be what you use in this last 7 years of existence here on this earth. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for bringing up those fivefold ministries to the forefront. And we thank you for it, Father, because the man child, that's going to be his job. He's going to be able to bring them out and appoint the apostles to go out and get the churches going. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for giving everybody a good night's sleep tonight. Let everybody get a real good rest. And Father, we thank you for more rain out there in California to keep them fires down. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just praise you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for, Leo and his and Elena and their daughter. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, our daughter, that boy. There's a boy, Matthew. Thank you, Father, that they're all well and fine and everything is going great. In Jesus' name. The boy is not crying at night. He's sleeping all night long and not keeping anybody up. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed.